G'day wherever you are around the world, and thank you for your company. It is time for another Spiritual Baby Speed Study on Truth to You. That's truth number two, letter U.org. G'day, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
Good morning, Jono. Hello, everyone.
Why am I speaking so fast?
I don't know. It's because it's a speed study.
It's a speed study, and boy,
we've got
20 minutes, and we've got, 40 occurrences of the word we're about to look at. That means we've got 30 seconds to do each word, and I've already blown the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, we're just wasting time as we go.
We're wasting time as we go, so we have to get in it. What is the word that we're looking at?
We are looking at servant today, and specifically in the book of Isaiah.
We are looking at servant in Isaiah. It occurs 40 times. What is the Strong's number so the people at home can play along?
The Strong's number is 5650, and to be fair, we're looking not so much for the word servant, but we're looking at the Hebrew word eved or ebed, depending on how you want to say it, and when it turns up, because it's not always translated as servant.
Ebed. So that's the one we're looking at. It occurs 40 times. Now, there is it occurs 9 times in what is known as Proto-Isaiah. Now, there's Proto-Isaiah, there's Deutero-Isaiah. It's kind of cut in half. Some people think that that's because, you know, there's two different authors. I don't think so. I don't want to get into the theology of all of that. But there is 9 occurrences in Proto-Isaiah, which goes from chapter 1 to chapter 39. And this is what they are. You ready?
Yes, go for it.
All right. 14 verse 2. Isaiah 14 verse 2 refers to the stranger who were previously oppressors, yet have now joined themselves with Israel, clinging to the house of Jacob. That reminds me, by the way, of Zechariah 8:24. But we don't have time to go there, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
We just don't have time.
We don't have time. Chapter 20 verse 3 is in regards to Isaiah himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 22 verse 20 is Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. There you go.
Yep, if you want to read more about him, you can go to 2 Kings 18:18.
There you go. There's a few. He appears in a few verses. In fact, he's back in here in a couple. 24 verse 2, any servant in a generic sense. 36 verse 9 refers to any common servant of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And as I said, 36:11, Eliakim is back in there, but also referring to Shebna and Joah.
Hmm.
37 verse 5, who's that?
Again, we're talking about regular servants.
That's right. Now, in regards to King Hezekiah's servants, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in 37:24, the servants of Sennacherib, this time being addressed by Yehovah. And 37:35, who's this?
This is David.
There you go, King David. Now, that was pretty quick. We've done the first 9. Now it gets a little bit tricky. Deutero-Isaiah, that basically 40 chapters 40 to 66, there's another 31 occurrences. And I've done a little bit of a survey of Christian translations. There are 8 occurrences that display capitals. We're going to have a look at those as well. 41 verse 8 to 9, it says, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away." That's pretty conclusive. 42 verse 1, that's Israel. But do you know what I found out, Mr. Spiritual Babies?
What did you find out?
Well, one, now the translations that I canvassed, right? This is the mm-hmm. ones that I thought I'll get, you know, some translations that are known to most people, popular translations. The New King James Version, the Holman Christian Standard, the Amplified Bible, and the New American Standard Bible. That's fair?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now we are in, what did I say?
42:1.
42:1. Thank you. In the Amplified Bible, we've got a capital S for servant. In the Holman, we've got a capital S, we've got a capital S in New King James, and a capital S in the New American Standard. All 4 of those all agree there is a Christological
theme, yep.
A Christological theme, and they've given it a capital S. However, Mr. Spiritual Babies, when we go down to verse 6, there's something that kind of throws a spanner in the works. And what it says in 42:6 is, it says, "I, Yehovah, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand, and I will keep you, and I will give you as a covenant people," is what it says. Brit Am. Brit Am. Everybody knows what that means. And as a light to the nations. And
right.
So that's why I say, Mr. Spiritual Babies, that is most certainly in reference to Israel.
And that's why it's important not to just read the one verse. If you want to find the meaning, read the whole chapter and read the chapter before and after. Read around the subject rather than just the subject.
Read the context. Context is king. Okay, so Isaiah 42 verse 19, I think. Is that where I'm up to?
Yes, it is. Who is blind but my servant?
Who is blind but my servant? Now, strangely enough, Mr. Spiritual Babies, there's no capitals here, but it's only a few verses away in the same chapter. Who is blind but my servant? 42:19. That's Israel. 43:10 is Israel. How do we know it's Israel? Well, if we, like you say, if we go to the context, we look around, we look at who Jehovah is addressing here, and we only have to go to verse 1 of 43. What does it say?
But now, this is what Jehovah says, who has created you, Jacob, he has formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine.
Amen. Amen. So clearly he's addressing Jacob, he's addressing Israel, and that continues all the way through. Now, the interesting thing about 43:10 is that it says, you are my witnesses, plural, and then it goes on to say, and my servant, singular, whom I have chosen. I just want to throw that in the works because that comes in handy a little later on. So everybody remember that.
One version, one translation, the New Living Version, which is a bit more flamboyant than some of the others, although it doesn't say it in the Hebrew, it actually says in the text, it says, you are my witnesses, O Israel, in the text. So those translators have already assumed that that's Israel.
Okay.
Hebrew, well, it doesn't say it. Yeah,
doesn't say it, but it's pretty obvious when you follow it through in the context. Mm-hmm. Okay, so where are we up to? We're up to 44:1. Have we done that one?
No, 44:1. Okay.
Verses 1 and 2. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Jehovah, who made you and formed you out of the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. So Yeshurun, obviously the poetic name for Israel. So that one's pretty clear. 44:21. What does it say?
In my Holman, it says, remember these things, Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant, Israel. You will never be forgotten by me. And in 22, I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. That's awesome.
Beautiful. Mm. And in verse 24, by the way, it goes on and says, thus says Jehovah, your Redeemer, and in 26, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, to the cities of Judah you shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places. So all of those clearly Israel. We move on to 45:4. Let me start just before 4, and I'm going to read just beyond it. It says, that you may know that I, Jehovah, who called you by my name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you. Though you have not known me, I am Jehovah, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. What does it say in 48:20?
48:20, Jehovah has redeemed his servant Jacob.
Beautiful. 49:3 is so weird. Okay, now this is what happens. Let me just explain this, Mr. Spiritual Babies, because it says in 49:3, 2 out of 4 of the translations, the Christian translations that I mentioned, have capitalized 49:3. 3 out of 4 capitalized servant in verse 5. 3 out of 4 also capitalized servant in verse 6. 2 out of 4 capitalized servant in verse 7. So servant appears in 3, 5, 6, and 7, but not everyone can agree whether or not it's Christological. So it's a little bit, now, just again for the listeners, it's the I'm looking at the New King James, the New American Standard, the Holman, and the Amplified, and then they just can't get it together and agree. But the problem is, Mr. Spiritual Babies, even though some of them have got capitals, it's clearly in reference to Israel because it says in 3, and he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel. Not only that, but if you go to verse 8, which is just beyond these verses that mention servant, it says again, it says, I will preserve you and give you as a covenant people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. Brit Am, again, once again, Brit Am, clearly in regards to Israel. So I wouldn't go with the capitals there. So the next one, chapter 50:10, again, capitals, Mr. Spiritual Baby. 3 out of 4, not everyone could agree, but 3 out of 4 had capitals. But again, I would say this is in regards to Israel. And I would cite 42:19 in regards to that. We're going to have to read them both. 50:10, what do you got?
50 verse 10, who among you reveres Jehovah and heeds the word of his servant? Though he walk in darkness and have no light, let him trust in the name of Jehovah and rely upon his God.
So the servant walks in darkness and has no light, and that just immediately reminded me of 42 verse 19. What do you got there?
Who is so blind as my servant, so deaf as the messenger I sent? Who is so blind as the chosen one, so blind as the servant of Jehovah? Seeing many things, he gives no heed. With ears open, he hears nothing.
There it is. So I'm definitely going with Israel on that one. I don't think that's a problem. Now, alternatively, another view, a very plausible and perhaps more correct view. This is the view of the great Yoel ben Shlomo of Hebrew in Israel. When he had a look at this particular verse, he concluded that it was Isaiah, that it was in fact referring to Isaiah, the servant here in 50 verse 10.
Yeah, you know, I think it's plausible. I think it's life raw. I mean, reading it through, it does seem like it could be he's referring to himself as servant, and then he swings the camera back onto the people.
Mm.
The great thing is we can say it's either Israel or Isaiah.
Yeah, there we go. It's either Israel or Isaiah. Funny thing is, by the way, Mr. Spiritual Babies, in 42:19 there was no capitals at all, but 50 verse 10, they decided 3 out of 4 of them thought, hey, you know what? Probably slipping some capitals here. 52 verse 13 and 53:11, we're going to come back to those. Is that okay?
Yeah, we're definitely going to come back to
those. They're the most controversial ones. I reckon we should come back to that. 54 verse 17, what do you got?
No weapon formed against you shall succeed, and every tongue that contends with you at law you shall defeat. Such is the lot of the servants of Jehovah, such their triumph through me. So that's definitely a plural.
That's definitely a plural, and if you look at the context of that, there's no doubt about it, it's Israel. And in fact, pretty much from here on in, we've got 56 verse 6. Oh, you've got to read this one for me, Mr. Spiritual Babies. 56 verse 6, you love this one.
I do love it. As for the sons of foreigners who attach themselves to Jehovah to minister to him and to love the name of Jehovah, to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and who hold fast to my covenant, I will bring them to my sacred mountain and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. It's awesome.
That's awesome. That's a bit of you, right?
That's a bit of me, all right.
And not only that, but it says, not only will he gather, do they join themselves to Jehovah, but it goes on to say that in verse 8, Adonai Yehovah, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. So not only are they joined to Yehovah, but they are gathered to Israel as well. So we can say Israel in that sense.
Definitely.
So there we have 63:17. That's Israel. See both verses 16 and 17. 65:8-9 is the faithful remnant of Israel. 65:13-15, again, it contrasts the faithful remnants of Israel with sinful Israel. Mm-hmm. And 66:14 does the same, and it's talking about faithful remnants of Israel. Boy, how about that? Now we have to get back to the hard ones, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
Yes, we do.
Now, I need to highlight some things. In what is known as Deutero-Isaiah, we have covered, if we include the foreigners, the sons of the foreigners who join themselves to Yehovah and are gathered to Israel, if we include that one, every single one of those refers to Israel, but we haven't done these two yet. So what I'm saying is 29 out of 31 so far, it refers to Israel, with the possible exception of the one 50 verse 10 that may be speaking of Isaiah. Now, as you mentioned, Mr. Spiritual Babies, read the verses, the passages, even the chapters before. Read afterwards as well. Put everything into context. Now, we're coming back to 52 verse 13 and 53 verse 11. The first thing I'm going to say is, now, I know everyone's sitting there going, oh, they're going to tell us who the servant is. They're going to tell us who the servant is in Isaiah chapter 53. Oh, we've always wondered who it was because we were... Or there's people that are saying, I already know who it is. It's so obvious, I already know. My mind's made up. That's fine. You know what? I'm not even going to tell you who it is. I'm just going to give you a little bit of information. First of all, 52 verse 13, only 3 out of 4 of these chosen Christian translations can agree, and they've decided to put a capital S, 3 out of 4. When we come to 53 verse 11, all of them have decided, no, definitely capital S's all around. So this is an explosion of capital S's there. All I'm going to do, Mr. Spiritual Babies, if I may, And I think I can do this. I think it's safe to do this. I just want to read a few little notes out of my Christian translation, out of my New King James Nelson Study Bible, if I may, about a verse, just one verse in this passage. It's not even these verses that we're looking at. So I'm kind of, you know, jumping off the farm a little bit. Now, listeners know the reason why I love my New King James Study Bible, the Nelson Study Bible, is because they subtly tell you when there's a little bit of trickery in the text. Now, that's not words I usually use. That's the way that Keith Johnson puts it. I'm going to stick with Keith for a moment. But when there's a little bit of trickery in the text. Now, these you're not usually informed about. I'm going to let you know what it says. I'm going to go to verse 9, Mr. Spiritual Babies, of Isaiah 53. Everybody get your Bibles and have a look. Now, this is what it says in verse 9. In fact, this is what it says in the study notes of verse 9. Now, first of all, it says in 9, they made his grave with the wicked. Now, I go down to the study notes and it says, Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man, but he was not wicked. I'm just reading you what's on the page. Okay. It goes on to say, but with the rich at his death. Okay, this is the New King James Study Bible, the Nelson's New King James Study Bible. It goes on to say in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9, but with the rich at his death, I go down to the study notes, and it says, the Hebrew term death is in the plural. This is the Christian translation telling you this in the study notes. They made his grave with the wicked. The study notes says, Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man, but he was not wicked. Now, they also say, but with the rich at his death, and they say the Hebrew term for death is in the plural. They don't tell you that in the text. You have to find it in the notes. It also says in the notes, in the study notes, he will be buried in a rich man's tomb. And they say Isaiah 53:9 says that, but it doesn't say that. It says they made his grave with the wicked. It goes back and forth in the study notes. It also says he will die with transgressors in the study notes. But if you look at verse 9, it says he was with the rich at his death. Not transgressors, it says he was with the rich at his death. Now, I'm not going to speculate any more than that. All I am saying to people is this is the kind of interesting trickery that we find. You need to find out whether or not the conclusions that you thought you fully understood are in fact correct. So what I am saying is, out of the 31 occurrences that surround these verses, they're all in reference to Israel, with the possible exception of 50 verse 10 that may be speaking of Isaiah. If you had a conclusion that was different to that in regards to these two verses, Isaiah 52:13, Isaiah 53:11, and I've just read you some evidence that may throw a spanner in the works, don't blame me because I'm reading from the Christian Study Bible translation, the New King James Nelson Study Bible. Okay. Can we? What do you think, Mr. Have I lost you, Mr. Spiritual Babies, or does that make sense?
No, you're absolutely right. And while you were talking, I pulled out Chabad Tanakh, which is free and available for anyone that's interested. And it's a bilineal, so it shows the Hebrew and the English. And their English version of 53:9 says, and he gave his grave to the wicked and to the wealthy with his kinds of death, because he committed no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth.
Really? Kinds of death?
Kinds of death.
Interesting. So plural kinds of death. Mm-hmm. All right. So that concurs with the New King James study notes.
Right.
Very interesting. Okay. Well, it's also worth mentioning, Mr. Spiritual Babies, that 52 verse 13 is in fact the beginning of the passage. I know that there's a chapter 53, but that's not where the story starts. It actually begins in 52:13 and continues on from there, so people should also be aware of that. I think that's enough information for people to go now and do their own study and see whether or not we have given them a fair evaluation. What do you think?
I think it's fair. I know some people are going to say, you know, they took us all the way through them, and then when we got to the two that we tuned in for, they didn't give us anything, but I think it's important that people take stock, and at the end of the day, we're responsible for what we believe to be true.
Amen.
And we don't want to be the people that tell you what to believe.
Amen. We do not want to be the people that tell you what to believe. We do want to provoke. Yeah, we want to provoke you into the scriptures to do study. That's what
Absolutely.
We want to do.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of these shows.
So until next time, dear listeners, thanks for listening and be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's Word. Make sure you visit spiritualbabies.net and Spiritual Babies on Facebook. Also the Truth To You Facebook page and truthtoyou.org. See you later.